Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How are you doing?
I am. How are you doing?
I am perfect. Perfect. And I've been practicing being perfect.
You know, I wrote a thing a while ago asking for some clarity on the function of the brain. And it's interesting that since you told me about practicing, it didn't dawn on me. I had to ask because I didn't know what on earth I was seeing or doing or anything. And what came to me is that the brain is a servo mechanism for the spirit. And what you had done by what you had explained to me was that you had made a command that the brain had to follow through. Does that make sense to you at all?
Yeah, and it performs extremely well.
Here's what I wrote. It says the function of the brain is important in spiritual matters. It is a servo mechanism by and through which our spirit parent accomplishes seeming miracles. Seeming, in quotes, is an important distinction because the word miracle, in quotes, connotes to many an event for for example, physical healing, parenthesis, such as the inexplicable removal of all evidence of a disease, you know, like cancer or something, which had been there just the day before, end parenthesis, which again seems supernatural. We recently did a series on a possible connection between quantum mechanics and spiritual manifestation, proven scientifically via processes such as the double slit experiment. The importance of the brain is in its ability to choose, that is, decide to make a commitment that it wants our spirit parent to be in charge, and that it decides to believe in the spirit parent's ability and purpose of being there for us, for what some might term as our better good. And that's as far as I went with it, but what I felt like I was getting about that was that we don't even have to understand. We attempt to understand things, which is probably a good entrance to the podcast to talk about the article, because I really get into those kinds of things in the article about not understanding necessarily, but believing, and that that's the intellectual job that we give the brain when we say we are, when we say I do know, I do understand, I am, and all these things. It's a command, if we're from our spirit to the brain I use the term servo mechanism. I got that from somewhere. Servo mechanism missile is the thing that guides it and directs it, you know, yeah. Like a heat missile.
I didn't know that. In regard to the article, I'm not quite sure how that relates, but your article to me is a very detailed explanation of who God is and how we limit ourselves by not looking at the fullness of who God is. I really like, actually, the one translation that you put in here of the word, the complete expression of. Wow, the complete expression. I mean, I've heard lots of people try to describe what God is and what spirit is and who Jesus was, and wow.
Well, you know, I misused that for years. I didn't understand it. I was preaching that Jesus was the full expression of God in the flesh, which could be construed as truth, but that's not what the Greek word logos means. Logos just simply means the complete or the full expression, and that word is applied to the spirit that created everything, who became in the flesh, Jesus. And I don't know, did you get to the part in the article where I said that I never understood it before about the Trinity, and it's really a flaw of the Trinity?
Yeah, it's a really bad flaw. Yeah, I read the part about the Trinity, and I'm in full agreement with you. You point out that the Trinity cannot possibly be the fullness or the wholeness of what is being described in John, or again, if we go back to the first chapter of Genesis, what is being described there is let us create.
Yeah, it really is not.
No, it doesn't even come close, and it's almost...
It's almost blasphemy, isn't it?
Almost, or even the statements, some of the statements in the Old Testament by God, or attributed to God, the Lord God, right? I am a jealous God, and I shall have no other gods before me. What? Who am I speaking to?
Yeah, which one was that?
Yeah, you know, so one of them just happens to be jealous, and... I don't know, I'm not promoting Hinduism, but it seems that their multiplicity seems a little bit more accurate than the presentation that we're giving through Christianity.
Well, I think in the last podcast I expressed, we had a little bit of a discussion touching on that, but that the really that's a distinctiveness of Islam, that to say that Allah or Allah, however they pronounce it, is the one God and the only God, and that Islam takes on Christianity for the Trinity, and Islam takes on Judaism, takes on the Hebrew religion for its Elohim, being the multiplicity. And therefore, when you look at it, Hinduism is actually far closer of an expression to what was, to that word Elohim, than anything else is.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me.
You would have to say that the Muslim religion is the only monotheistic, truly monotheistic religion. But I understand from the history of religion that monotheism came from Zoroaster?
Zoroasterism? What is that?
Yeah, I don't know the criticism.
Zoroaster. Yeah, anyway, Zoroaster, right.
And that is a monotheistic religion. I personally, really, back to what I was saying, really like your articulation of the full expression of. It seems to fit, and it gives room for multiple expression, multiple diversification, and actually reaching and touching everybody in their own way, in a unique and individual personal way.
Yeah, it really flies. What's amazing to me, as I got that understanding when I was writing the chapter in the book, and I thought, whoa, wait a minute, you know, I really had to dig in and demand for some clarity from Dad, because just a whole wave of peace came over me as I realized that, wow, here is the truth, finally, and it explains everything. Of so many things that are mistranslated, obviously mistranslated in Scripture, and I know that's an arrogant sounding thing for anybody to make, but it's truth. And like I said in the article and said in the book, if go get your own, get your confirmation, go direct and see if this isn't true, because what has been foisted on us is not true, and it's so obvious in the spirit.
Well, you know, in the last podcast, you made a point of saying that we should not identify ourselves with any particular religion. And what I'm going to say to you is that with this translation and our current discussion, I'm not quite sure that there's a religion that would have you.
No, I'm sure that's true.
Or me, for that matter.
Yeah. I'm sure that's true.
Yeah, I've been booted out of the best religions, buddy.
Yeah, so folks, if you're listening to us, you may want to think hard about it. You know, it's amazing. We had the one lady that just started a website and wants to hook up with our website, and she is oh so welcome. You're very spiritual and very exciting, but she wants to soft pedal her stuff related to the ills of Christianity so that she can minister to Christians in church. And I've been down that road, madam. I didn't say this to you directly, but if you're listening, and I know you generally do, have fun, because that's a tough road to walk.
Ministering to Christians?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been advised through the Spirit not to do that on several occasions. I wouldn't say to do that. What I've been advised is to button my lip.
Yeah. Well, and I never understood why the come out man, and of course you told me that I was getting it out of Revelation. That I wasn't getting it out of the book of Revelation. I got that from Revelation. The loudest and the clearest was in an airport in Boise, Idaho.
And so, in reality, we're not really encouraging people to leave the church. We're encouraging them to go to the source and get some direction.
Yeah, and if they may well be led to stay there for a time. You and I were, so.
Yeah, and but I'm not quite sure that you can stay in the church if you have the expanded viewpoints that we're presenting here in the concept of Elohim, and in this article where you really make it very clear that certain viewpoints that are promoted just don't match up with what's written.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is what I have written there is more in line with Scripture than has been presented anywhere that I've ever seen.
Yeah, and so I'm pretty clear on why you use the word source, and I agree with that. I think the source is a very good way. Using the term source to me is inclusive of those who are in quantum physics where they talk about energy and it's everywhere and, you know, into form, out of form, always was, always will be, that sort of attitude.
Right.
You know, it's a much more inclusive than the viewpoint of many religions saying that they have an exclusive on what is truth and who God is. And
yeah, which we certainly don't claim.
No. So just out of interest, I thought you might find this interesting. Servo mechanism is an automatic device that uses error-sensitive negative feedback to correct the performance of a mechanism.
Oh, but it's a word I coined. Okay.
Yeah.
The brain.
Yeah.
I know that I got that somewhere. I just don't remember where I got it. It was years ago. I mean, years and years and years ago.
So the term correctly applies only to systems where feedback or error correction signals help control mechanical position or other parameters.
Now, I do recall the context of where I got that servo mechanism was that any coach worth his salt for putting a golf ball or for dropping a basketball through the hoop tells the person to see the ball dropping through the hoop or to drop in the hole. And that's the visualization. I think Kerry Mitlikoff, I read, he was a professional golfer. I read something on putting by him one time. And to him, that was the key that changed him into being one of the greatest putters ever known. And so I began practicing that and knowing it. And, you know, wow, you know, it works. And then I came across the term, and it just blew me away that, you know, that's how missiles work.
What you're saying is that when you visualize the shot going in the hole, anything that you do physically that doesn't match that picture, your brain will tell you it doesn't match.
Right. Well, and you may not understand the process or know, and that's the danger of, back to our last podcast also, and I guess the article as well, of practicing going to a driving range. I know I'm probably turning off people who don't care about golf. I don't care about it either anymore, but I used to. But going to a driving range and hitting a hook, which is an arcing shot to the left, and practicing your swing over and over and over again, all you're doing is driving it into the rut of hitting hooks. Or the opposite, which is a slice, which is a wide arcing, the ball spins to the right. There's several things that cause that, and they need to be corrected by a professional. Once you get in that groove, it's almost impossible, and it takes forever to practice the proper swing to get over it.
Well, practicing untruth is something that I've been doing for a long time in my life.
Well, yeah, that was our last conversation we had on the phone, which you didn't record, but it was so exciting to me. I kind of put you off because I had several things I had to do, but it was what an exciting thing. And then to get that revelation about the proper use of the brain today, or the the importance of the brain that I got today, and then having that all tie together and realize that that's what the brain is. It's a servo mechanism for the spirit. As we allow and want and trust our spirit parent to guide every part of our life, then and we begin to declare out of our mouths what we know to be the truth from our spirit parent, then it's up to the brain, and I can tell the brain. I can just say, hey, get this done and get it properly. You know, you can figure it out. And what's amazing to me about that statement, that sounds like ego, but it isn't ego. It's when we let the brain run amok is when we allow the ego to control us.
You know, this is very interesting, but we're way off topic from the article. I'm having fun.
Well, you said up at the top, I think, that you didn't know what there was to talk about, and really, I don't either, because the article is quite comprehensive and complete, and I had to read it 10 times over after I wrote it, because frankly, I didn't understand it. So we're learning together.
Yeah, I have this friend. He trains his martial arts, and he's around 50. Some of the young people say to him, "Well, how do you get so much energy?" And he says, "I have a lot of energy. I feel energetic." And he said, "Yeah, but how do you do that?" He said, "I have a lot of energy. I feel very energetic."
Oh, beautiful.
The young guy will go, "Well, what happens when you feel tired?" I have a lot of energy. And the young guy will shake his head and go, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Well, if you feel tired and you say, 'I feel tired,' do you feel any more energetic for saying that?"
it's like it's like being in pain, it's like being in a bad mood, it's like being whatever, and allowing that side of our brain to articulate that feeling is just gets us down the wrong path.
Yeah.
And it has to do with declaration. It's what Jesus literally taught about prayer.
Sure, sure.
You know, just amazing.
You know, recently I've been reading this book. I picked it up again. It's one of my all-time favorites. It's called Illusion, and it's about a reluctant Messiah. And he's explaining to a guy that the word faith really means imagination, and that 2,000 years ago they didn't have the word imagination. And when I think of this servo mechanism that you just described earlier, you know, where you visualize the shot going in it, that's using your imagination to practice the truth that the ball goes in the hole every time. And you practice it, and then your body lines up.
I need to correct something you just said.
Please do.
In the original language, it's very clear that that's what Jesus was saying. It's seeing, you know, and there was no word for it in English, apparently, and the translators had difficulty understanding. But it's, you know, this whole thing of seeing is believing is such a misnomer, because believing is seeing. And what Jesus was saying is seek. If you seek, you'll find. And that's the word in the original, really imaging. If you'll image it, if you'll imagine it. The word, but it doesn't, it unfortunately doesn't translate.
Interesting. Wow. Well, I guess that author was right, and he probably didn't even know it. Anyway, my friend, thank you very much for your article and this wonderful discussion. I'm sure we could go on yakety-yakking all day, but I'm pretty sure that people get the point that you're trying to get across. You've created a very nice bridge here.
Thank you, Daddy.
Thank you, Daddy. And thank you, Brad.
Hey, and thank you, Ryan, and thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Bye.